One more element of reliability block diagrams, and by the way, there are many other structures and features of block diagrams. It's one of the many areas of reliability engineering that continues to get attention from the academic world, and so there's continuous amounts of development in how block diagrams can work. But Keynotes is one that I've actually run into a few times, and let's explain what that is and how to solve those. So a keynote is a component or part of a system that either allows it to operate in parallel or in series, and it's not really quite either one. And so it's a system that we can't do one step at a time and devolve the system into a simple calculation as described earlier in the complex lesson. But it's probably easier just to show you a diagram and see what you think. So it's, before I get into this particular approach for solving it, if you see, look at the diagram, R5 is often considered a keynote component. So if R5 isn't in the system, if I take that out completely, I just have these two items in series that are in parallel with each other. So I would calculate R1, R2, R3, and 4, and then those are in parallel, and I can get a solution. But I've got this R5 element in the middle here that complicates the system. So let's get rid of my drawing here, because if I lose R2, oops. So if I lose R2, R5 allows this path to continue. But then I still have this path that will work. Right, so it's still not quite just changed to a series system. So it's a little more complicated. And there's multiple ways this can be solved by adding one component. And that's really why we use keynote structures, is that instead of adding a third path of redundancy or adding more complexity to the system, by adding one more element into it, I can conceivably improve the overall system. So that's one way to think of it. So Bayes' theorem, if you remember back from the probability discussions, Bayes' theorem talks about using conditional probabilities, the effects of one element can affect the outcome of other elements. And we can use that information in order to solve a probability problem. And so the basic idea here is that we break this down into two structures, two problems. One is, what if R5 is good and it's operating? And what if it's not good, if it fails? That way we can make it contingent on the probability of just the R5 element. So if R5 is good, I essentially have two pieces that are in parallel. And I have this R5 piece is 100% available, so it just really drops out of the equation, calculates out as one, but we're making the assumption that it is good. So then our diagram turns into two items in parallel, and we put those in series and we can do the calculations. On the other hand, when R5 is bad, do I put the same drawing here? Oh, yeah, so this drawing's not right. Get rid of that. That should be straight across. I have R1 and R2 in series, but both of those are in parallel to R3 and 4. A little bit messy drawing there, but I think I have to correct that drawing. If R5 is bad, I don't have that path to cross over. So what I have now is to a different parallel structure, but again, I can calculate the probability. Now, the Bayes' theorem approach works when it's a structure that's pretty obvious like that. It doesn't always work, or is not always obvious, of which component is the keynote component. But in some cases, a truth table would work for us. And basically, it's work out all the possibilities. So in that previous diagram, I'll just use this one and put a R5 here, is I've got this path, the path up here, and then this one straight across. So I've got five different paths that would result in this, a successful operation of the system. And that's what we mean by working out all the possible paths and calculate all of those probability of successes. In some cases, there's plenty of different permutations and ways that a system could operate. And so we need to work that out. Depending on if one has failed, if two has failed, if three have failed, if four have failed, and which ones have failed. And altogether, there's 32 permutations for this simple one, not just the five that I drew. Because there's also scenarios where two items fail, or three, and I still have a path that gives us a solution. So plenty of different ways that you can solve this problem. But you work out what's the probability of each of the different permutations to occur or not to occur. And you can work that out. Now, if you see one of these on the exam, skip it because it'll take forever to do the calculation. But in practice, it is a way to do it. I often call it the brute force method. Now, you can also use tie-set methods, which is a technique of systematically looking at all the different permutations and calculations. This is, if you work through this math, and there's what I'll have to do is work out an example and provide that with the course, is because it takes a bit of squinting at the formulas and exactly what's going on to see how it works. But it's basically using the fundamental probability of what happens if I have all of these different paths working, which is going to add up to way more than one, and then subtract out paths, the different scenarios, the overlaps between these different paths, and then add back in some pieces, subtract out some more, and so on. And eventually you get to the probability of the system reliability. The opposite of it is called the cut-set method, is looking at, well, what happens when certain elements are failing. And it uses the basic same idea, but again, I think we'll need to have a step-by-step process and step through an example to see how it works. So in the references, you should be able to find examples if I haven't gotten to adding the worked-out examples in the course yet. But there's four different methods for solving a keynote type problem. By far the easiest is just to find the keynote element and what if it's working, what if it's not, and make that conditional on your probability. So here's my probability of E working and the probability of E not working. And then I do the calculation for the two elements in parallel this way and the two elements in parallel that way for these two pieces, and then add them together. And it gives us a solution. And there's brute force method, tie-set methods, will all get us there. But the basic idea with reliability block diagrams does have a limiting assumption. And I touched on it just briefly when I was talking about items running and a load sharing type operation. The block diagram is a bit more complicated tool to use when the failure rate changes because of something else changing in the system. So if I've got two power supplies load sharing, they may have a failure rate of lambda. And if one fails, then the other unit now changes its failure rate because of the increased load to, say, lambda prime. In dealing with those variables, in that case, it's just a step change. But sometimes the variable is more complicated than that, more conditional than that. So it there's a limitation is that the blocks are acting independently. The what happens with the reliability of one is not influenced by the operation or performance of another block. They are going to work pretty much all on themselves. That's not always true with particular systems, so we need other types of ways to model the reliability of the system. Now, physics of failure models is one way to feed into reliability block diagrams into other models. So we're going to step aside from the system model for a moment to look at physics of failure models, which are pretty powerful in the way we analyze and understand the failure mechanisms within our products.